It's Ian Pickus. We are back in the congressional corner today with New York Congressman Pat Ryan, a Democrat from the 18th District. He's been in office since 2022 and now running for a second full term. Congressman Ryan, welcome back.
Hey, Ian. Thanks for having me.
So I think a lot of people who were watching the convention the other day in Chicago saw you on the last night of the convention when Vice President Harris accepted the nomination. You had a speaking role before that. How did that come together?
Certainly not an expected thing, especially as a new guy here, a freshman. So it was really an honor to get to speak. And I got asked by the vice president on Monday and gave the speech on Thursday. So thankfully it was a short speech and took a bunch of times to get it as best I could to hit the right themes, I think, which I think we did.
Well, you've had a lot of like real world experiences in your life, but do you get nervous for something like that?
I've jumped out of planes. I've unfortunately been shot at in combat, but I got to say, going in front of however many tens of thousands of people that was one of the most nerve-wracking moments. I will admit that. But it was really cool. The energy at the convention was just incredible. I've never been a part of anything like it. Just so positive, so unified. People have been using the word joy, and I think that's right.
So for people who didn't see your speech, could you recap what your message was in the couple of minutes that you had?
Yeah, I spoke about really two main themes. One was the really powerful experience I had when Vice President Harris came to speak to the graduating class of cadets at West Point, which is not only my alma mater, but also now I get to represent in the district. And just seeing the way she interacted with the cadets and all the leadership and service members there and families, speaking to how that, in my mind, really shows her understanding of the tremendous sacrifice and selflessness that goes into the decision to serve, to take that oath that those cadets are taking that day. And I talked about actually watching her. I was just a few feet away. Look every single graduating cadet in the eye that day. And also to see them sort of take her measure as someone that could, God forbid, send them to war someday, potentially. And so I talked about her readiness to be commander in chief. And then I contrasted that with the other guy who, the list goes on and on, from insulting Gold Star families to just 2 weeks ago now calling Medal of Honor recipients, really denigrating Medal of Honor recipients, calling our troops suckers and losers, and I used a colorful military acronym to describe him, which I can't say on the radio, probably. Well, the
I think
acronym I can
we
say.
Can say FUBAR, but we can't spell it out.
Yeah, I'd get myself in trouble with my mom or my wife or somebody, I'm sure.
Why do you think Trump hasn't paid a political price for all of the things that you just mentioned among members of the military and veterans of the military?
Oh, he has. I mean, I think that veterans I'm speaking with every day are more and more aware of what is certainly now not an exception or an anomaly, but a continued pattern over years of Trump truly, like, I truly think he is not able to understand being selfless because he is so selfish and self-centered, that folks that, in my mind, military service is one of the most selfless things one can do. And he just can't process that. And a lot of veterans are increasingly aware of that. I mean, even you saw in the numbers, if you really dive deep on the data from the 2016 election, which he unfortunately won, to the 2020 election, which he lost, veteran and military family voters shifted significantly to Biden. It was a big part of the reason President Biden won. And there's been some good analysis of that. And I think that trend will only continue. The fact that actually we saw the national VFW, which is the National Veterans of Foreign Wars, which is totally stayed out rightly of politics, actually weigh in response to the Medal of Honor comments, calling them, quote, asinine, coming from the head of the VFW, I think was actually really significant and shouldn't be underappreciated.
Well, speaking of the question of self, your Republican opponent in this fall's election, Alison Esposito, put a statement out after your speech to the DNC and said you were putting your own ambition first by delivering the address. Just wondering if you had any response to that.
Yeah, I actually wasn't aware that she had said that. To be honest, haven't paid a lot of attention to her. I've just been focused on representing the district, putting forth what I'm for. And I think one of the things that was exciting about the convention and just the moment we're at politically right now is obviously there's a lot to be against with Trump and my opponent too. But folks are excited about being for a set of things. And we talked a lot at the convention, and I've been talking for years about being for protecting and expanding freedoms, from reproductive freedom to economic freedom, freedom to breathe clean air, drink clean water, freedom from gun violence. I mean, that is what, you know, I think rightly my constituents and ultimately voters are wanting to hear, not the kind of back and forth stuff.
Did you get to have any FaceTime with Vice President Harris or her running mate Tim Walz at the convention?
I didn't, no. They were getting pulled, I'm sure, a million directions. I got a lot of great time with, you know, folks from the district who were delegates from the Hudson Valley and other fellow New Yorkers, and but did not get to get any time with them.
So the last time you and I spoke, you were actually politically out on a ledge a little bit. You were one of the very first members of the House to call on President Biden to stop his reelection bid after that first debate performance. And obviously, we all know eventually more Democrats joined in and he decided to stop the reelection bid. Now that you have some distance from that, how are you feeling about that decision and what's come since?
Yeah, I think we spoke a little bit right after that. And just it was really centered on what I was certainly I had my view, but it was centered on what I was hearing from my constituents and folks across the district who were both concerned about Trump and the risks and threats of another Trump presidency, but also concerned that President Biden just wasn't able to draw that contrast and make and sort of prosecute that case. And I think in the last whatever it's been about 2 months, we have really seen a quite stark change in the tone and tenor of both, as I said before, prosecuting the case against Trump, but also laying out what Democrats and really what the country is needing and where we're going in a forward-looking, positive, optimistic direction that people can come out and vote for. And so that's exciting. And I think that you zoom out, there were, you know, two candidates from both parties who were largely not popular, fair or not. One party listened and made a change, and it was a hard, you know, process. And the other it has not and is totally lockstep behind a guy who is, you know, now a convicted felon and someone who's said want to be dictator on day one and a lot of other things that I think we've learned we have to believe Trump when he says those things from the last time he was in office.
So we just have a few seconds left in today's conversation, but I was curious to know, because you're of the same generation as the Republican vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance, he has some similarities to your background. What do you make of his candidacy and his decision to join the Trump election bid?
I think it's pretty disgraceful and pathetic. This is someone who had previously and rightly criticized Trump, called him literally America's Hitler. And now for his own political ambition, I believe he's forgotten his principles, forgotten the oath he took as a military member to the Constitution, to support and defend the Constitution, and is instead lockstep, like the whole GOP of today, unfortunately, or most of it, behind Trump. And thankfully, I think this will be the end of his political career, I hope.
Are you feeling confident that the Democrats will win the race for the presidency this year?
I think we got to work really hard and earn it, take nothing for granted. Certainly we're doing that in my race, and we'll have to do that at the top of the ticket as well. Ultimately, I'm generally an optimistic person. I'm optimistic that the American people are going to see through Trump and my opponent too, and Vance, and choose a positive forward-looking direction for the country, a freedom-focused and I would say patriotic direction for the country that the Democratic Party is standing for. So, but again, especially in a race like mine, we've just got to do the work to really earn that that trust and ultimately, hopefully, another chance to serve a few more years.
Well, maybe you can teach me about that optimism thing on our next conversation with New York Congressman Pat Ryan. He's a Democrat from the 18th District, in office since 2022, and I've got a long list of topics to go over with you when we come back the next time.
Thanks, Ian.